When it feels like everything's falling apart, let's weave the story of God's love. If people are shouting past each other, let's weave the story of God's love. Wherever there is fear in the world, let's weave the story of God's love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this congregation and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, which is full to overflowing today. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. Because this is the first Sunday of the month, it's a communion Sunday. So for those of you at home, I invite you to grab a bit of food and drink. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. So you're invited to participate to whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. And because we are celebrating communion today, that means we are taking our communion fund offering. We have envelopes available for those on site, and we will also accept checks and online donations. As long as you write communion fund in the memo line, they will go toward that communion fund. Today's offering will address the current crisis caused by lack of funding for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. You may have heard that judges ordered that SNAP funding be reinstated, but that will take time, and there are procedural issues, and it is not clear if full funding will be reinstated, so families are still going to be going hungry this week. This offering will be divided between two local food programs, as well as gift cards that this congregation will distribute directly. Now, speaking of two local food programs, today we have a coffee chat after worship with the Natick Service Council. Coffee chats are opportunities to learn about a local topic, a local organization, or a topic of interest to folks. It's held after worship in the chat room for those on site. The chat room is right off the vestry downstairs. We had planned this one for a while, but it is great timing because a portion of this morning's communion fund is going to the Natick Service Council. This is our guest this morning for the coffee chat. More about that a little later in the service, but if you're on site, I hope you'll grab a cup of coffee after worship and join us for the coffee chat with Natick Service Council. This morning, we are marking All Saints Sunday. Folks have been invited to bring a photo or memento of someone you want to remember today for those on site. You'll be invited to add it to the communion table during the opening hymn if you didn't already. Folks at home, you are invited to have one close at hand as well. Sarah Lynn and I were worried that nobody was going to bring any. Can I just tell you, I just could cry. The communion table is beautiful. I don't know if the folks in the balcony will be able to get a picture of it, but it is full of pictures loved by members of this congregation. And it is just some of the people loved by people in this congregation. Next year, we will get a bigger table. Today, so if you still have a picture or memento, you're on site, you're invited to bring it forward during the opening hymn. We will find room. And we also have pub theology tonight at 7 o'clock in the chat room. If you're joining us tonight, we invite you to bring your photo or memento. We have bigger tables there, so plenty of room at 7 o'clock tonight. This coming week, I will be in a time of study and preparation, getting ready for the rest of the fall and Advent. So you will have Reverend Cindy Maybeck leading worship next week, and I am still available for pastoral emergencies. All right. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, settling your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. I'm Kirsten. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "I want to be there." When the saints go marching in,
"I want to be there."
And when the sun begins to shine,
"I want to be there."
And when the trumpet sounds its call,
"I want to be there."
And when the new world is revealed,
"I want to be there."
Yes. I want to be in that number.
Let the saints go marching in.
Our hymn is number 316, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." You are invited to rise in body or in spirit, and those in person are invited to add their photo or memento to the communion table if you have not already. Our centering prayer this morning is adapted from words from Reverend Carla Miller. We begin with a little bit of relative silence. This could be an opportunity to consider the week just passed and think about who was a living saint for you. Who showed you a glimpse of God's love? Let us pray. Holy One of days and nights, of sinners and saints, of right and left and everything between and beyond, We are grateful for your presence that abides in every corner of our living. You lurk quietly in the loneliest places in our hearts, keeping watch. You grieve with us in our devastations, our losses, our fears. You journey with us in our celebrations, our defeats, and even in the monotony of our days. You delight in us and love us. May we live in that love and delight, knowing that as we sink into you, we might become more like you, wanting life and grace for this world and all peoples and creatures that live upon it. We give you thanks for all the saints in our lives, those who are living and those of blessed memory. May we continue their work of sharing your love. We pray for this world, for the places and precious people who are in pain, in crisis, in fear. May we find ways to care for each other, to be your hands and feet in the world. We pray this prayer for love's sake. Amen. On this All Saints Sunday, we pass the peace with the great cloud of witnesses, the people we love who have died, but whose memory continues to shape and comfort and uplift us. And so I invite you to hold in your mind today one of your saints. It might be someone from your family or this church who has died in the last year, but it could also be someone who died long ago, even someone you never met. And let's be clear, we're calling them a saint today, not because they're perfect, but because we love them. So think of your saint. Picture them in your mind's eye. See them smiling at you and smile back in return. Close your eyes if it's easier. Breathe deeply. Breathe in the gratitude for all they gave you. Breathe through any grief, letting it open. Breathe in light and love, letting it fill you. With all these saints in our hearts and minds, we greet the saints with us now, on site and online. Then we'll join together in our song of celebration, a new one for the month of November. God's peace be with you.
Our scripture reading this morning is the passage assigned for All Saints Day in the lectionary. That's the three-year schedule of scripture readings that many churches use. If you've been following our series on the stories of Moses, we will pick that up on November 16th and finish it on November 23rd. But today's passage is from the Christian scripture, the New Testament, specifically the Gospel according to Luke. So a crowd has gathered around Jesus in a big, flat, open area. Jesus has been healing people. Then he launches into a long teaching section, which is called the Sermon on the Plain, because it's a large, flat area. This morning's reading is just the beginning of that sermon, and part of it is very similar to a section in the Gospel of Matthew, which is known as the Beatitudes. Beatitudes means blessings. Each verse in that section starts, blessed are, like blessed are the peacemakers. Or for those who have a hard time hearing Jesus, blessed are the cheesemakers. Yes, I saw the smile. You knew where that was going, yeah. Except Luke's gospel is more focused on bread and butter issues. So it starts out with not blessed are the peacemakers, but blessed are you who are poor. And then Luke adds a whole bunch of woes, a whole bunch of sorrows, like, woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Which, you know, all in all makes this reading kind of a bummer for someone like me, because statistically speaking, I am not poor, and except for certain 15-minute spans of every day, I am rarely hungry. And that is the point. It is helpful to remember who Jesus' audience was. Mostly poor, hungry, oppressed people living in an occupied land. The blessings and woes track differently if that is your lived reality. But it's hard for us to get a sense of just how radical and even dangerous those statements were in Jesus' time. So for the sake of our time this morning, Kirsten will read some of the verses of the passage, and I will try to give you a sense of how Jesus might have phrased them if instead of the Sermon on the Plain, they were the Sermon on Natick Common.
Here are some words from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 31. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God."
Blessed are you who are poor because there is no living wage, for soon you will have authority over Congress.
Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled.
Blessed are you who are hungry now without SNAP benefits, for you will be put in charge of the budget of the USDA.
Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh.
Blessed are you who weep now when your family is torn apart, for you will laugh with joy when borders are abolished.
But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation.
But woe to corporations enjoying subsidies, you will need to pay a living wage.
Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry.
Woe to you who are billionaires now, you will have to pay taxes.
Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep.
Woe to you who enjoy wielding power that causes pain and suffering, you will awaken to the damage done to your soul and the world.
But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you.
But I say to you that listen, turn all expectations upside down.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the wisdom and vision to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Kirsten. So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. It's so nice to see all my friends over there. Did any of you go trick-or-treating this week? Any of you? Did any of you who did not go trick-or-treating this week have trick-or-treaters come to your house? Did any of you who went trick-or-treating wear a costume? Did any of you who had trick-or-treaters come to your house see people wear a costume? What did you wear or see? Shout out some of what you wore.
Banana.
You wore a banana? I love bananas. That's awesome. What else?
Scarecrow.
Awesome. We had some great stuff out there. What, those of you who were stuck at home, what were some of the favorite ones you saw? Lots of minions. Minions of minions. How about you had demon hunters, lots of demon hunters. What? Pilgrims? All right, lots of pilgrims? There must be a video game involving pilgrims that we just not have figured out yet. Yeah. It's fun to dress up, isn't it? Is it fun to dress up? Yeah, we like to dress up. It's fun to pretend to be somebody else, amen? How about wearing a mask? Is it fun to wear a mask? No, you don't like to wear a mask? I have a mask. I think it's fun to wear a mask. I like to wear a mask. This is mine. I like to wear a mask. Oh, wait, I can't read my stuff if I wear a mask. I think it's fun to wear a mask because, like, nobody knows who you are, right? You can kind of, like, hide behind a mask sometimes. I think it's fun to wear a mask on Halloween or if you're, like, in a play or if you're in the Christmas pageant. Rehearsals start next Saturday, right, Sarah Lynn? Yeah, it's super fun if you're wearing a mask, like if you're the donkey in the Christmas pageant. Remember that when Ben was the donkey? That was the best. Here's the thing. It's fun to wear a mask those times, but the rest of the time, I do not want you to feel like you have to wear a mask. What I mean is I don't want you to feel like you can't be yourself. Lots of times in churches, we talk about being our best selves and loving our neighbors and making a difference in the world. Right? Amen? And those are good things to talk about. Today, though, we're even talking about being saints. That kind of ratchets it up a little bit. All of that can feel like a lot of pressure, especially when combined with messages from school or parents or friends to look right. Has anybody ever heard that? Can't wear that. You can't wear that to school. That's too messy. Has anybody ever heard that? Has anybody ever said that? Yeah, there we go. How about messages about you have to do everything right? Or get everything right? Have you ever felt like you're getting messages that you have to be practically perfect? All those messages just become a lot. And sometimes that's enough to make somebody feel like they have to put on like a pretend mask so that nobody can see how they really feel, how worried they are, how left out they feel. How mad they are about all that pressure. So I hope this is a place where nobody has to wear a mask, where you don't have to be perfect, where you don't have to hide how you feel, where being a saint doesn't mean never getting anything wrong or living some kind of holier-than-thou life. Wear a mask for fun. The rest of the time, just be you. You beautiful child of God. Will you join me in blessing these kids as they head off to Sunday school? God, who accepts us just as we are, help us find a way to surround all children with love and care, that they might know they are beautiful and beloved just as they are. Amen. Have a great day in Sunday school. Hank if I move to the floor, will I mess you up a lot? Okay, we're going to the floor. All right. So, sometimes we preachers, make the Last Supper sound like Jesus and his friends sat at a table covered with loaves of bread and cups of wine, right? Like, there were all these loaves that had maybe one slice taken out, like you were at the Olive Garden and they kept bringing more and more breadsticks, and that there were like so many cups of wine that each had just like one sip taken out of. Otherwise, they were pretty much filled to the brim. But chances are, that is not how it was. Not at all. Remember, they were living in an occupied land. The government, the Romans, were controlling the food. We know that the people of Judea had to surrender grain to Rome to feed the very army that was oppressing the people of Judea. So they had to grow the grain and then surrender it to Rome so the army could be fed so they could continue to oppress the people of Judea, which meant the people of Judea didn't have enough bread to eat. So they had no freedom and were often hungry. So New Testament stories of people inviting Jesus for a meal were amazing hospitality when there wasn't even really enough to go around. So in that last night together, as teacher and students, there was probably just a heel of bread left, and several people had their eyes on it. And there were probably only a few sips of wine left in the cup, and everybody around the table was still thirsty. Now, Jesus was the teacher, the leader, the boss. He's the one with authority. He's the one all the crowds were showing up to see. He's the one whose name they were shouting. So if there's a little bit more bread and a little bit of wine, who's going to get it? Jesus, right? That's the way the world works. That's certainly the way it would work in the Roman Empire, at any table in the Roman Empire, or any empire for that matter. It's the very definition of empire. But instead, Jesus takes the bread and breaks it into pieces. Again, and again, and again. And makes sure everyone around the table has some, and none goes to waste. Instead of keeping the bread for himself, Jesus redistributes it, rejecting the practices of empire and showing people what he has said again and again: the kingdom of God has come near. Maybe just for a minute, but right there and right then. For just that moment, the world was the way it was supposed to be. Everyone was equal, and all were fed. Now, maybe you're thinking that's a nice story from a long time ago and very far away. But hear what our faith teaches. When we gather at this table, you at home, me, God, that night long ago is happening again. Right here, right now. The kingdom of God is coming near again, right here, right now. It even feels kind of true this morning. After all, thousands of years later, the government still controls the bread. Empire still wants to decide who eats and who goes hungry. But we gather at this table, and Jesus meets us here and breaks up that bread again and again and again until all are fed and not a bit is wasted. Jesus is here again, redistributing that bread, making sure empire doesn't send God's children to bed hungry. Not just metaphorically, either. This week, we've all been bracing for what would happen if the government refused to fund SNAP, the program that helps feed over 40 million people in this country every month. I love how folks have been reaching out to me and lay leaders to find out how we and other religious communities are going to respond. As I mentioned, today's Communion Fund offering will help. Donations will go to support local food programs and the purchase of grocery store gift cards. This table extending out into the world. But that's a response to what happens here first. First, we gather here for a SNAP breakfast, a meal that nobody has to earn, where everybody is welcome, where there is enough for all, and everyone is equal. At the very moment when empire is once again controlling bread, Jesus calls us back to God's table. First, we will feed each other, and nothing will be wasted. We will break the bread into one piece after another. We will reach into the cup to get the very last drop. We will reject empire's myth that we each have to just look out for ourselves, and we'll make sure God's children get fed, no matter what empire says. Amen. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so, folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to get a bit of food and drink. Folks in person, you will be invited to come forward, if you so choose, to take a piece of bread, dip it lightly in the cup, and eat it right away. You can also raise your hand to be served in your seat. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Pam. Pam is lifting up the joy of having trick-or-treaters come to her house, seeing their happiness, and then sending them home with buckets full of sugar to stay awake all night and make their parents nuts. Kirsten. This is so, I just cannot believe she's a year older. So we have been, we were one very small part of the support team, Kirsten in particular, for families living at Hartford Street Presbyterian. And one of the families, Wanderleen, had her baby just a year ago. So we are celebrating Anais, I'm not saying that right. Anais has turned one, and we celebrated her birth. I think it felt like yesterday, and now she has turned 1 year old, and we celebrate that. Thanks, Kirsten. Jeanette. Yeah, I'm going to cover that later. Yes, it is 100% a joy. this is an announcement disguised as a joy. It's in the bulletin and the link. I love you. Read the bulletin and the link. Other joys. Bob. Is it Grace? Is Grace 29? Bob, is it Grace? I can't hear you. Oh my gosh. Eric, is it your birthday? Eric, happy birthday. Eric is turning 21 years old today, and we are so happy for him. Congratulations, Eric. Happy birthday. Sarah Beth. I have this listed as a concern, but we will celebrate that that from Sarah Beth that Peter and Rihanna's families in Jamaica are safe, but Jamaica is destroyed. In so many parts of Jamaica are destroyed, including the families housing there. So we continue to hold them in prayer. And Sarah Beth has some information about organizations that are doing good work there if folks want to talk to Sarah Beth about that. Thanks. Oh, that was, who did that? Declan celebrated his 7th birthday yesterday, and someone gave him an archery kit. Happy birthday, Declan. Natasha. Oh my gosh, happy 100th birthday to Natasha's grandmother, and what a gift to have the grandkids together. Beautiful. Don, Nold. Donald is lifting up the Boston Alzheimer's Walk that he helped coordinate last weekend and how wonderful it was to see folks there. And he's also lifting up the joy of all the walks that have happened. Linda was there the week before I lost Linda. Where is Linda? There, a walk the week before. We do celebrate all these walks. Yeah, Michelle. Michelle, why do you sound so tired? Michelle is celebrating that Kat took her last law school final yesterday. So both Michelle and Kat are all done with school. Kat has one little quiz to take to pass the bar. It'll be fine, right? Congratulations. Janet. It's going to be awesome. Andrew is heading out to Montana for 4 months for the experience of a lifetime. This is part of what he's going to like write his life story about. It's going to be great, and we will take care of you, Janet. It's going to be beautiful. Did I miss any other joys? Lane, what concerns do you bring to this place today? Is he home now, or is he back and forth? So he is back and forth. Is the cardiac issues, is that related to the amyloidosis? Okay. So we're continuing to hold Thomas, who was diagnosed with amyloidosis, in our prayers, especially they've had to put the treatment on hold because of cardiac issues. We hold the whole family in our prayers, especially two little kids, 8 and 10, bouncing in and out of the hospital. We hold you, your whole family, Alyssa, in our prayers. Miriam. We hold Elaine, who we don't often see because she is a bridge pastor. She's finishing her ministry in Ashland, but she's having full hip replacement on Wednesday. So prayers for Elaine, as well as her husband, Stephen, who will be doing caregiving. Thanks for letting us know that, Miriam. Susan. So, oh my gosh, both siblings going through so much. Okay, gotcha. Right, okay. So hold it, glad you were able to see your family in Texas, but holding, it's the brother-in-law. I'm gonna screw it up, yeah, I know. But we hold all of them in prayer, those in memory care, those being checked for Parkinson's, and you as you recover from the visit with them. Thanks, Sue. Pam. Holding Pam's friends, Lydia and Josie, in our prayers. Lydia has been caring for Josie while Josie has been living with dementia. The time has come for Josie to go live in a facility. This transition's gonna be really hard, but it's gonna be good. Lydia's gonna go back to being a partner rather than a caregiver. We hold them in our prayers. Yeah. Randy.
Because the money is actually there even during the shutdown. Mm-hmm. The dismantling of USAID, the impacts that were well known are now happening at the same time. It's kind of an overlap. That it's starvation, and it's also like diphtheria, lack of vaccines that used to be provided for a few cents.
Right. Randy is lifting up the impact that was anticipated of the ending of USAID, particularly in Africa, where we're seeing now starvation and disease, and all the ways in which that is going to ripple out. It's not going to be contained in one place. There's going to be so many ramifications. Thanks, Randy. Was it Carolyn? Is he local? Okay. We hold in our prayers Carolyn's brother, Dick, who had a stroke 19 years ago, was doing okay, but was out trick-or-treating, fell. So now, broken eye socket, hand, he's home. They're going to hopefully see him, but you just worry about all the implications. Yeah, holding him in our prayers, Carolyn. Thanks. Kirsten. We're continuing to hold Lane and Kirsten's neighbor Edna in our prayers after her fall and her broken hip. She's now at Marianne Morse, which hopefully will help with a whole bunch of disruptions that were happening for her in the hospital. Yeah. I've got a couple. There's an SNEUCC, our denomination, our local denomination, is right now in Palestine. So I'm holding them in our prayers as they are there on a witness trip. And I look forward, I'm working with that group now, so I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to share when they get back. Lorraine fell on Friday, broke her femur, had surgery yesterday. Surgery went fine. She called me this morning. She's clearly still medicated because she's doing fine. She says she's not in any pain. She doesn't realize she's still medicated. Hopefully gonna be in local rehab as soon as tomorrow. She wanted me to just let you all know she's okay. Sarah H. Is home, but last night was in the hospital with AFib, but she's been released now. She's doing okay. So that's why she's not in choir. Sorry, I should have told you. I am a terrible pastor. I was distracted. I'm really sorry, but she's okay now. She's doing better. Okay, sorry. All in prayers. We're gonna run over. I don't have chocolate. I'm sorry. Beloved, breathe. You know, we gather lots of times with family and friends around tables. So glad to be together. We find our seats, we settle in, and then we look around and realize the one who is missing, who won't ever join us at the table again. I imagine even at that Last Supper, there were empty chairs, friends and spouses gone too soon. Tradition says that by the time Jesus had started his ministry, his father, Joseph, had already died. We are always surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, people who shaped us and nurtured us, people who definitely were not perfect or always easy, people who have left not only empty seats, but holes in our hearts. On this All Saints Sunday, some of those people are represented by photos and mementos on our communion table and our home altars, but they always hover around. And so as we are invited to this feast, we invite them to this feast as well. On site and online, I invite you to rise as you are able and call your saints to join us here by saying their name and then stand here beside me. I invite you to rise as you are able. You're invited to say their name and stand here beside me. Viola, stand here beside me. Please be seated. We remember the stories that Jesus' friends tell, stories of bread broken and shared, feeding a multitude, stories of being gathered together, enemy and friend around tables, stories of healing offered to those at the very margins of society, stories of unlikely guests revealing the face of the sacred. They say that it was on a night of both celebration and betrayal that Jesus took the bread laid out on the table, blessed it, and broke it, reminding them that it is in the breaking that we become whole, in losing our lives that we find them, in serving that we are served. When we eat this bread, we become one with one another. They say that Jesus took the cup also left over on the table, poured out for sharing, remembering with them the life-giving breath, even now, pounding a rhythm through our veins, the breath of life from whence we come, the breath that precedes and follows all that we can see. When we drink the cup, we become one with the source of life itself. I invite you to raise your hands in blessing on the food and drink we have gathered before us in recognition of God's presence at all our tables. Let us pray. Holy God, our loving Creator, close to us as breathing and distant as the farthest star, we thank you for your constant love for all you have made. Today we gather at this table not just those we see with us, but also the great cloud of witnesses, the saints who have blessed us as individuals and as a community, who today live as one with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that we might be infused with the gift of your nourishing guidance. Hear us now as we pray in one voice, words taught to us by the one who showed us your way in the world. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God.
Thank you.
us pray in thanksgiving for this life-giving meal. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Amen. Today, as Jeanette has foretold, we are welcoming Rachel Vingsness from the Natick Service Council for a coffee chat. If you are not familiar with the Natick Service Council, I hope you will come hear about their case management services and how they help people find jobs and the clothing closet and the expanded mobile market. If you are familiar with the Natick Service Council, I hope you will come join me in congratulating Rachel for her new role as executive director and find out how we can further strengthen our partnership with this organization. And there's what? And there will be treats, because Robin's in charge, so there will be treats. And now I'm going to tell you a secret. Now, I didn't know Rachel was going to be in the sanctuary when I said this. So when I came to Natick and found out about the Service Council, I practically wept in relief. That list of programs they offer, many of those programs are the things my congregation and I had to cover in my last church. I am so grateful for the Natick Service Council, not just in times like these when they're trying to address a community crisis, like get food to everybody, but day in and day out when they are making a difference in our neighbors' lives. So in addition to a portion of the Communion Fund offering, they will be receiving a donation from the outreach team as a thank you for coming today for the coffee chat. So thank you for making the work of the Natick Service Council possible. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we hold in our hearts all the neighbors who have benefited from their work.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and the neighbors who need them. Amen. Our closing hymn is Something About Saints. It's number 486. We're just singing 1, 2, 4, 5. Beloved, all hands together to hold the wounded, all hands together to make the bread, all hands together to work for freedom, all hands together to change the world. Go in peace. Amen.